That's better. I can see now. Paul gives us warning here about the last. 2 Timothy 3:1. This now also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce bearers, false accusers. And the list goes on. Don't be surprised. But don't really look for things to get much better. Verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 3 says, truth bearers, false accusers. That's what's happening in Washington. That's what's happening in Harrisburg. All around, it's not going to get better. Turn with me to Matthew 24. The 2 minute infomercial. Matthew chapter 24. We have to stop for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, is Paul's prophesying about the end of our dispensation. Matthew chapter 24 is talking about some things that are going to happen in the future. We have to be really careful to understand that Matthew 24, this prophetic call, has not started yet, but just know what's contained in here is going to happen, but not yet. Anyhow, what I wanted to point out here in Matthew 24, I'll just cut right to verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's one of the things that's going to happen during that tribulation time. And obviously, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is going to happen before that. So. Anyway, I just wanted to say, don't let your love walk cold. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're in a lost and dying world where there's only hope for some people. So it's very easy to want to fight what's happening in our country today. Ephesians chapter 6 is there, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not saying we should not be concerned about what's happening in our country or actively participate politically as citizens, but as saints, that's not our thing. And nobody wants to hear about COVID-19. So on with today's lesson. Please, with the other topic that I was hoping to speak on was, I had this question for some time. And I don't know that I'm going to answer it today, but we're going to look at some interesting verses and concepts. So the question is the earth alive? Don't get weird on me. I promise you. I'm not turning Wicca or anything like that. Wiccan. I'm not. The Wiccans. Wicca. I've seen it both ways, Wicca and Wiccan. I've seen it both spelled both ways, but Wicca, they worship air, fire, water, earth, and spirit. And they're very much in tune with the earth. So I'm not going wicked with you, man. And I do not believe in evolution. I don't believe in theistic evolution. But there's some interesting things here in Genesis that we're going to look at in some other verses. So, let's start. First, I have to borrow another Bible because the first five pages of Genesis are shredded from my Bible. But I don't want to get rid of it because I have all my notes in my Bible. Anyway, I turn to Genesis 1. We all know the story. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So let's just make a real quick outline here. Day 1, day 2, day 3. So let's say day 1. Day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I listed 7 days of creation. I don't want to belabor this, but verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness was called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So what did God create on the first day? Heaven and the earth, light, the night. And I believe that these are literally 24-hour periods, not... Some people say, well, Peter says day of the Lord to the thousands. Some people think that these are thousand-year increments. I don't know. I think it's one literal 24 period. Heaven and earth. Did he create the darkness? No. So our darkness was already there. But he divided light from darkness. What did he create on the second day? Yeah. He created a firmament between the waters. Firmament. Between waters. So he separated the waters. And personally, I believe that's not just water on the earth, but it's water that's here on the earth. Separated from the water that's way out in the universe. Out there on the crystal sea. That's another subject for another study. That was the second thing. Verse 8, and the evening and the morning were 7 days. Verse 9, God said, let the waters is interesting here. I don't know if you guys pick it up on this or have thought about this ever. But this account is, what's God doing? God's creating, but he's, what's the verse of the word we keep seeing here? It's like God is allowing something to happen. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters and called seas, and the souls of it. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Let the earth yielding seed of the fruit tree, yielding fruit after its kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was said, the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the third day. So on the third day, dry land, separated from the seas, he creates grass, herbs, herb seed, fruit trees. But the interesting thing is, I don't think he just created the grass and created the trees. But he put the seed for those trees in the ground. Let's see, where's that verse at? I'm looking for the verse that says before it was. Chapter 2, verse 5. In every plant of the field before it was in the earth, in every early field before it was. And look what wordy, isn't it? What was before what? And every plant in the field before it was in the earth. How do you understand it? I think here's how you understand it. Every plant in the field before it was in the earth. And every herb in the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Anyway, I think that means that the seed was in, which came first, the chicken or the egg. I think the seed came first, then the plant. I think that God created the earth with the seed in it. And whatever water came, whatever the mist came up out of the earth, the water in the ground, those seeds grew. It's not really what I want to focus on today. Anyhow, let's go on. So, day 4. 14, verse, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Why didn't God just say, hey, boom, be there? Why did he say, let there be? So, there's something more that we're not. He's allowing this to take place. Let that be. Now, I'm not saying I have all the answers here, but the choice of words is curious to me when it says, let there be. Like, and it might be just as simple as God had this master plan, and he did. Now, let it happen. But following that same logic, when we get down to day 6, this is good for time's sake, let me fill this out. Day 4, God creates lights. said, dude, stones. And we already know that the light already existed. We were God Himself. Day five is interesting. So he created the moving creature. In the waters. What would that be? Fish, whales, dolphins, turtles. In order. What else? What else? What else come out of the water? You know, this part's a little odd to me. But if you read He God said, let the waters bring forth life abundantly, the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly by the earth, and the open firmament around us. So that's peculiar that we're talking about the waters, the seas. You know this verse 21 says that God created great whales. That fits. Whales out of the sea. And every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their coming. And every winged fowl after his coming. Alright, well, ducks, geese, herons, if they kind of lived on it, it kind of makes sense. But turkeys, eagles, they fish in the water, but they don't live in the water. Anyhow, it seems odd to me. That the moving creature in the water, the whales, the birds. Okay, this is what it is. I'm not going to really draw well on it. Day six is what I wanted to get to. Verse 23, the evening and the morning were the 50. Verse 24, God said, let the earth. Well, after I read this again, I had to scratch my head. And let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Stop there. Is God letting the earth create? When I got to chapter 2, the whole idea kind of went out the window. So look over at Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God, in verse 25, and God made the beast man after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that came from the earth after his kind, and God told him it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now that's interesting. He did not say, let the earth bring forth man. But he said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. When he got down to base, and let God said, let us bring man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. I told you to get Genesis 2:19. Genesis 2:19. So we can't say, well, Mother Earth, we came from Mother Earth. Genesis 2:19 says, out of the ground, the ground of the earth, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air. about the fallacies of the sin. But the capability of it brought Adam to see what he was called to. So, Genesis 2. So let's compare Genesis 1. What is 21:23? God said, "Let us bring man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created him. So it does say, "Let the earth bring forth man." But chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground." There's a subtle difference. Verse 7, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." How does that work? What are the mechanics? How does that work, and what does that look like? There's another example of how God did that, or how God's going to do that. In a little bit more detail, you're probably familiar with this passage, Ezekiel 37. This is prophecy of a future time when God is going to resurrect Israel. So you want to know what it looked like at the beginning, go to the end. I'm learning that more and more. How are things at the beginning, go to the book of Revelation, go to the end? Because God talks about the time of restitution of all things. He's going to restore things to the way they were before. See. Anyway. Ezekiel 37:1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the spirit, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley with the full of bones. He caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there are very many in the open valley, and know they were very dry. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, thou knowest.' Then he said unto me, 'Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto me, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.'" So back at the beginning, when God formed man out of the dust, it was just a lump of clay, just dirt. When God let the earth bring forth the living creature, it was just clay, just dust. The difference is, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will put flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shame. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the city of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, what I'm about to read is what I envisioned happening in Genesis. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. The four winds are mentioned in the book of Revelation. I think the four winds are this simple door south and west. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds of wrath, and breathe upon these slaves that they may live. So I prophesied unto thee and commanded thee, and the breath came into thee, and lived, and stood upon your feet, and exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesied said to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your grave, and my people brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you. He breathes the breath of life, and he calls it his spirit. I shall put my spirit in you, you shall live, and I shall place you in your land, and you shall know you are the Lord and spirit of it. The proverb that saith the Lord. Breath of life, God's spirit. Let the same, at least a portion of his spirit, the portion that allows us to live, to breathe. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I will destroy men who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and previously in the flowers of the earth. Same list that was in Genesis. Seems to be repeated. Man, beast, previously in the flowers of the earth. So repented me that I have made them. We know the story. God destroyed them. But then verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, no wonder has it. And everything that is shall die. Says that destroy everything off the face of the earth, and he did. Now, Noah and his wife and his children, the eight souls, were not on the face of the earth, were they? They were on the face of the water. So yeah, it's true. He's looking. Go to verse 21, chapter 8, verse 1, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, there's a fowl and a cattle, and beast of earth, and creeping upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was begun had died. And every living substance was destroyed at the point of face of the ground. The bad account, people things that the ground had. They were destroyed from the earth. But now they remained alive. But then there is no one there that talks about life, the breath of life in the nostrils. Gathering some more information. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. There comes a time in the future during the tribulation there are two witnesses that are going to be killed. Revelation 11:8, I will give power to divide two witnesses, they shall prophesy 1,200 years. These are the two olive trees and two candlesticks given for the God of the earth. Verse 7, when they shall finish their testimony of the beast, then it said that the body was put, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And the dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spirit is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord is crucified. It's not about Jerusalem. And they and the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. And shall not suffer their dead bodies in any graves. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets told them to dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood at his feet, and carried fear of God, who gave them suddenly. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Just another verse, verse has new names.
It's kind of like going to the teacher. It's kind of like a head. It's kind of like a the size of a dog. Somewhere between the drill and spring. A light bulb goes into the doctor. Goes through. And he breaks them. He starts to mess your eyes. Up out your brain. So they're calling out for the nurse and doctor are talking back and forth about coordinates 6, 3, 6, 12, 8, steering this wire down into the subatomic nucleus. Jerry, you okay? Can you feel that? The great thing about the brain is the brain is your central nervous system. But the brain itself has no feeling. So that was a good thing that day. The brain is the receptor that controls all your nerves. It sends impulses back to your muscles so you can react. Instead of something for the your brain has no nerves. So they're putting these wires down in there, they get down to the sweet spot there where they want to go, called the subatomic nucleus. Then they power out and give you just a little shot of juice. Jerry, did you feel right yet? Right there! Yeah. And that electrode gets to the right spot. It doesn't hurt, it just feels really weird. Get the tingling sensation. That's when they knew that they had the electrode in the right spot. That, my friends, is right there between the soul and the spirit. That day, I was lightly sedated. I did not hear a voice from God. Let me tell you, it's like they started that electrode down there and turned it just as a hey! I'm already in here. It's like, somebody's already in here. Like, that's where God dwells. That's where the Word of God dwells. That's why this verse is so, and so much more meaning. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. When that happened, as you can imagine, someone's cutting your brain, you're very nervous. And I had all the full trust in the doctor that did this. Let me tell you, when that happened, I had an overwhelming feeling, a peaceful feeling, that I've never experienced before in my life. That was the peace of God. Okay. I really, really like this verse. That is where the divine center of soul and spirit is. Way down there.
Okay.
Please turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. This verse is what started this whole thought process. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is very familiar to us because in 1969 the Byrds made a song about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're all familiar to everything. There's a season and a time and a purpose of the heaven. The list of God. This is talking about, not you and I. This is talking about the nation of Israel. A time to board, a time to die, a time to plant, pluck up, time to heal, time to heal, time to break up, time to wait, time to laugh, time to board, time to cast away stones, time to gather stones. This is talking about the nation of Israel. They're gathering stones to rebuild the wall. That's not what I want to do. Skip down the passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 18, I said in my heart concerning the state of the sentiment that God might manifest and that they might see that themselves are beasts. Now, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's kind of a Debbie down. It finishes like, you know, you love this hopeless feeling. You know, verse 19. For that which befalls the son of man befalls beast. Every one thing befalls them. As the one dies, so dies the other. Doesn't matter if you're a man, or a beast, or a cockroach. We're all gonna die. As the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So the man has no preeminence above the beast for all his vanity. When you look at it that way, death is the great equalizer. Death attacks. Death attacks. Anyhow, the point is we're all gonna die. Verse 20, all go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth down into the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own work, and that is his portion. And who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? That's a very uplifting message, isn't it? Verse 22, or 21 is where I really want to make a focus. I really got puzzled at this verse. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? It does not say, who knoweth that the spirit of man that goeth upward? You see, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? In the spirit of the beast that goeth down into the earth. I don't want to overanalyze this verse. It simply tells me that the spirit of, talking about dying, death and dying here. In the end, the spirit of man goes up, and the spirit of the beast goes down. What's the spirit? The spirit is the portion of God's spirit that was given to us, that allows us to live and breathe. Anybody can take a class and Dr. Frankenstein can take a body part from a dead body, let it be only near the body. A good kidney, a good liver, a good brain. That's what we want. But if you don't have the spirit, the breath of life, that body is not going to live. So this just tells me that when man dies, the spirit goes up. The spirit of the beast goes down. Now, if you're an animal lover like we are, this message is hard to swallow, is it? Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 7, without reading the content. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. But back in chapter 3, explains further that man's spirit goes back to God, but the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth. How does that work and why? Why does the spirit of my dog go down to the earth? Isn't that the same breath of life that allows me to live and breathe as my dog? The answer is yes, it is the same breath of life. There's a difference between a beast and a man. The man is, God said, let us create man in our image. There's a special purpose. Right, I'm running out of time. Anyway, question on the board is the earth alive? Is there any, see, what happens to the spirit of the beast when he returns to the earth alive? Not exactly sure how that works. I don't have an illustration like Ezekiel 37. I can't take the Bible kind of silent about that. But just do this, that God had a special purpose for mankind. Just talk about in Ephesians chapter 3, the eternal purpose, for the purpose of Christ Jesus. You know, we have a part of that. Right, real quick, I wanted to share some verses with you that personifies the earth. Let's see how we turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel are born. We know the story. Verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I do not. Am I my brother's brother? Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. How does that one? And now the curse from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Here's a case where the earth is called her. It's personified as a female. Cain kind of like the 69 GTM of my uncle's 57 Chevy. She really did. Sometimes cars personified it. Maybe it's similar, but maybe not. Maybe there's more to it. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16. Yeah, this passage about half of the corner. After this individual comes out of Egypt, verse 30, let's see. Verse 28, Moses 16:28. Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. I have not done them in my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, but they be a visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, when the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertains to them, and they get down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." It came to pass as he made it into speaking all these words that the ground came asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. In their houses, and all the men that appertain at the corner, and all their homes. Here again we see the earth personified as her, as the earth, verse 232, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Same thing is talked about Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 6. Kind of sort of another recap of this. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 16. Let's get a little bit of the context. There, verse 1, there appeared a great wonder to a woman clothed with the sun, and her head of clothes, powder clothes, stones. She being a child cried to the alien birth, and paid to be a deliverer. There appeared another wonder to the daughter of a great red dragon, had seven heads, good heads, seven crowns upon his head. Verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. There was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought the angels, and prevailed on. Here there was a place called any more dearly. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out of the room. And his angels were cast out with him. Skip down to verse 13. And when the dragon saw he was cast into under the earth, he pressed him to the woman, which brought forth the man of Jonah. And to the woman was given two labels of evil, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, life, and half a time, and as you, to the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water, as a fly feather, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, in the earth, up at her mouth, and swallowed up the flesh of the dragon, cast it in his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keeps the commandment of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Sorry, my voice is changing. Verse 16, the earth helped when the earth swallowed, earth opened her bones. You see it again, too. Yeah. Back in Numbers 16, it's clear to me that God was directing this. I've searched through the Bible. I did not find any place where the earth, the spirit of the earth having a spirit, the earth having a soul. I don't find it. So I have to come to the conclusion that the earth itself is not alive. The earth itself does not live and breathe. Not a living organism, but the earth is created to sustain life, given the spirit of the moon, given the breath of the moon. So, anyway, a couple other things. I pointed this out just to show that there's something more that's going on that I don't understand, but the earth is personified in the heaven. It's clear that in all these cases that God is in control. He caused the earth to open for them. In the case of Abel was the first one. He was the first person to die ever. The earth opened up her mouth to receive his blood. God caused the earth to open her mouth as judgment for the man pertaining to Christ. And in Revelation to the future, God caused the earth to open her mouth to receive the blood that comes out of the mouth of the dragon. It's not the earth saying, oh, I think I should do something here. It's not the case. Back to Ezekiel, the surges. The spirit of the man that goes out, and the spirit of the beast that goes down to the earth. Anybody here a Twilight Zone junkie? A couple times a year they have the Twilight Zone marathon. One of my favorites is the story about what Hayden and Rip. Remember that? Hayden was just an old mountain that a man lived with his wife out in the sticks. And his cute dog, Rip. Rachel really did not like Rip coming into town. One evening, Hayden tells Rachel that he and Rip were going to cute hunt. So he gets the shotgun and all thinking, all night long. Rip gets on the trail of a coon, and the coon just jumps in the lake. Hayden watching the holler for Rip doesn't come up. Hayden dives in the pond after it, up comes the coon and off again. The next scene is morning, and Hayden and Rip are leaning against the tree. They're just beat. They're exhausted. And all right. Hayden says Rachel's gonna be worried. And I'll figure out back home. On the way home, Hayden finds his neighbors digging a hole in his property. they don't answer. They won't talk to them. They're burying the dog. Hate to have some respect for the babies, even though they're digging a hole in them. He walks into the cabin. There's Rachel. She's all dressed up, going to the funeral. Long story short, Hayden and Rip died that night in the barn. They decided they would walk down the road. As they walked down the road, they came up on the gate. And the man said, "Hey, come on into heaven." "I'm sorry, Hayden, you can't. There's no place for dogs." Hayden is kind of offended when he says that. "If heaven's not good enough for my dog, not good enough for me." Down the eternity right there. The navigate, there's a young man standing there, and he invites Hayden in. There's a bar dance coming to the square dance. And of course, Rip is welcome in the town. True story, this is probably just good. Anyway, that's not difficult. All dogs do not go to heaven. Thanks for a great story and thanks for a great TV show. But dogs don't go to heaven. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the creature was not made subject to vanity. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but our souls also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. Verse 22 is interesting. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. It's why. Why are they? Because of the curse of sin. The curse of sin that is placed on all mankind, not just mankind, but the whole world, all of creation, including creatures. They are subject to the curse of sin, as much as their earthlings. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to close. First Corinthians 15 tells us we're in the resurrection past, resurrection chapter. So we've been talking about the creation of man, the creation of these supreme things, fishes down there, talking about what happens to man's spirit when he dies. I think we get some answers here, really. 1 Corinthians 15. Look down in verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Same list. Man, fish, bird, kings, and beasts. Seems to be common. Verse 40, there are also celestial bodies, their bodies terrestrial. They're but celestial, but a celestial body would fit from the heavens. The terrestrial body would fit from the earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. One star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is saved in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is saved in dishonor and raised in glory. It is saved in weakness and raised in power. It is saved in natural body and raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of the scriptures and it became a living soul. Verse 44, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was the first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, after that which is spiritual. Say, look, mankind did not start out in this celestial body. He first had to start in the natural body, body of flesh. This is talking about transition from the earthly body, to the heavenly body. To the terrestrial body, to the celestial body. Verse 47, the first man is of the earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. As is the earthy, such are also the earthy. You could probably say that about a bird or a fish or cattle and cricket and copper and your dog. They're out of the earth. They're earthy. They belong to the earth. Such and as is the heavenly, such are they also the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earth, then we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this earth seems flesh and blood united to you. Kingdom of God, neither does corruption, neither is good. Thinking about talking about the change of our bodies, at the moment, at the twinkling of an eye. Why does Ecclesiastes chapter 3 say that the spirit of man goes upward to the earth, spirit of the beast goes down, spirit of man goes upward to God? With the spirit of the beast and the tower together. The answer is simple. The fish, creamy thing, the beast, now they're placed in the deal. We're about to. This is the heavenly. Ephesians. The thought had crossed my mind. Is there animals in heaven? I remember. It's been about 8 or 10, at least 10 years ago. Been a dog with chocolate around me, but his last disasters, his health is failing, his head swelled up, and congested heart failure. any responsible adult would do that and get to sleep. I said, I'm going to be there for the whole thing. Doctor gives him a shot. You can see the pupils dilating, relaxing. He's dying. I said, put my head on. See you on the other side. Don't know if that's true or not. Well, yeah, will you ever see your pets again? I don't know. But this passenger does not talk about the resurrection of dogs or cats or beasts. Talks about the resurrection of days because that is our purpose. There's a purpose for resurrection. Now, if I'm wrong about that, please show me. But I'm not found anywhere in Scripture where beasts are resurrected. The people out there that believe, as a matter of fact, I stand to believe all dogs go to heaven. The dog is coming back, and another dog is put in reincarnation. I don't believe reincarnation either. I think that's why the spirit of the beast was gathered here. Because what happened there, I don't know. So I don't know if the resurrection of the kingdom all wrong. I can't say that scripture does not elaborate. It is no this. There's a purpose and a plan for mankind. God said, let us create men in our image. After our lives, we have plan and a purpose. I said, we're quite there. Ephesians is one verse. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse 4. For God, who is rich in mercy and with great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace for our sake, and hath raised us up to sit together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The thought of it occurred to me, hey, there's peace. Look at the book of Revelation. Ezekiel talks about the beast, seraphims, cherubims. Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, comes riding on a white horse. Why are there not beasts in heaven? They're not. The beasts have a particular purpose. The feathered pet, deer, bears, fish, and We're gonna bear the image of heaven. Is the earth alive? No. It's not. I hope this is a thought for where we study. And let's close with the word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the understanding we can have and rightly dividing your word. I thank you so much. People that come out this morning, fellowship with your word. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you.